Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the
ball? I'll get you the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water bag.
You hear that sound, Adam Luckett?
Sound of silence?
It's because there's no football game this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird. We don't have a Kentucky football game this Saturday.
I'm a fan of the 2-bye week season.
I am too. And not just for like...
You can hit the reset button twice.
Yeah, this isn't like I'm just a complaining journalist, you know? Like, there's not enough Diet Coke in the press box. This is a... I think it's much needed for this Kentucky football team.
Yeah, they needed it for sure.
I think it might be an understatement. The Cats went down to Columbia, and it was hot and downright no good, ugly at all.
Yeah, offensively couldn't play any worse. I don't know how you could play any worse than that.
So here's the thing, Luckett. You watch both games from home, and I think... Like, I learned that when I watch a game from home, I'm much more irrationally angry. I thought the Mississippi State first half was worse from a just whole team perspective. Whereas at South Carolina, I was just like, well, the quarterback just can't do anything. And we're not getting much running in between the tackles. Hard to get in space. But at least the defense is doing something. You know, South Carolina's running a bit. But I still felt like the first half against Mississippi State was worse. But I was also in the press box at South Carolina. I tend to put my guard... I lower my outrage meter because I can't, like, scream at the television. So, like, it was... Was it just me being there made it seem less bad? Or was it just the offense? Do you get what I'm saying?
From where I was sitting, the situation with South Carolina made it a bigger game. And the Mississippi State game, the offense was moving the football throughout the game. So you had glimpses of positivity. Down there was
nothing. No.
I mean, I think they came out, and I think they had three of their first four drives were three and outs.
And I think it was three first downs in the first half.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the one drive that wasn't a three and out was an interception. It was just ugly. Sawyer Smith looked like, you know, he was just swimming. He was just lost the whole game. It seemed like the whole team knew that they were just screwed on the offensive side. Defensively, South Carolina did what I talked about. They came out and they scored on that first drive. That Brian McClendon does a scripted drive as well as anyone. But after that, Kentucky really settled in. They got a stop in the red zone. They 3-for-13 on third down after the first drive. 5-for-15 for the game. 3-for-13 for there. We got the pass rush back. Boogie Watson showed up. Calvin Taylor continues to ball out. Defense did some good things. They made some mistakes. They gave up some yards, but that's what this team is going to do. They're just a young defense. But offensively, it was just awful.
Yeah. And the part is like, I think when we sat in this room last week, we talked like, hey, you know, even if Sawyer Smith isn't at 100%, Kentucky should be able to run the football. They couldn't. They really didn't that much. Like, the first four plays of the second half were passes.
Mm-hmm. And smoke. You didn't have smoke.
Yeah, that's
factored in there.
Yeah.
But I think what Kentucky's doing is they're running a lot of RPOs, but South Carolina
was just saying pass it.
Daring Kentucky to pass it, so they were, and it just wasn't in the cards that night.
So a conversation I had with a pretty smart guy, I don't think he'll mind me name drop, but it was at halftime. Jeremy Jarman was doing the color commentary for the game, and he's like, South Carolina's just daring them to throw it outside. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it, and he said it, when he was like, when you watch the film of the South Carolina game the week before when they played Missouri, that was what Missouri did to them.
Yep,
whenever they had
a
hurt quarterback. So you can't – like the people, the kind of just angry typers who just – I read a grand – like the – I mean, he was taking what they were giving him. So it's kind of like – I think it's kind of a psychological, like it's a line of thinking that this coaching staff is struggling with on both sides of the football. Do you try to be aggressive and use your scheme, or do you just like say, we can't do this, we're just going to be basic and just ram our heads against the wall and see if something works? Because I think defensively it's the same way, where they'll make a good call, like in the play that the first play of the second half, South Carolina, where Will Muschamp said, we got to get 12 personnel running the nub side. First play, they get 12 personnel running the nub side and score. 30 yards, Rico Dowdle goes untouched. And it was one of those where I was just furious like it when I finally saw those packaged together. I watched that play over and over, and I'm like, wait, there's three guys there. Like, just somebody make a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm also fuming. Just on the face value, like, how do they know it's coming and they still can't make the play? And when I finally calmed down and asked Stoops, it was like, you know what? There's three guys right there. One of you has got to make a tackle, or one of you can't let one guy block two.
It's also a young defense. It's a momentum-changing play. Kentucky comes out, fumbles their first possession. You see sudden change defense. Defense that probably wasn't totally focused, ready to go, and then they just – you saw kind of the lackadaisical close. I think that play to me was more the youth of the defense showing up more than anything.
Right, and I think it was not thinking.
All right, hold on here. Our offense just messed up. We need to pick them up again.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot let them. We cannot fall down 17. We have to hold them to three here. But instead, you saw a play they ran over and over in the first half. They came out and ran it again, and mm-hmm. Kentucky just kind of didn't full out close like they needed to. Corker and Brandon Echols,
right,
and Cash was just a half step late getting out there.
Yeah,
and
the hesitation kind of slipped him up.
Right, but
I think the look at my kind of overarching point that I wanted to make from this is that Stoops and them went out. They caught a dog. I mean, square and just drilled that A gap, and it forced them to bounce. And it was the kind of pressure that you would. Like, that Stoops could have dialed up a year ago, that he was comfortable dialing up a year ago. But can you make it with this inexperienced group of guys? Or on offense, can you make it with a group of players that are just completely different than what you thought you were going to have? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have Terry Wilson at quarterback. Defenses are treating their offense differently. So I think for each of them, they're trying to figure out, like, they're in their fifth game, and they're still trying to figure out
right.
the best play-calling scenario, and that's just a recipe for disaster.
Right. On the defensive side, you got a new coordinator, new play caller, and you just got a lot of new pieces.
Five new defensive backs.
Right. And then you consider, not only did you lose Devontae Robinson, not only did you lose all those seniors to the NFL, then you lose Jordan Griffin unexpectedly for
played
these last two games.
Handful of snaps last two games.
Right. So then it's kind of thrown Quadre Mosley into the fire, who I think has played well.
Yeah, especially all things considered.
Who might be an answer, but I think Kentucky is still struggling at nickel. I think that's a spot that they might, now that they found what they have in Mosley, maybe they plug, you know, Jordan Griffin down there at nickel to get Mosley on the field more.
Yeah, Ty Asian has been.
And then linebacker, you know, linebacker play just hasn't been great.
It's been bad.
DeAndre Square looked like an All-American week one, and he hasn't come close to playing to that level since.
I think he's their best blitzer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many times where him and O's did the same thing, where it's great play and then just a lack of focus. Like mm-hmm. I'm there, but instead of finishing the tackle, they get like kind of shook up. Or you talked about it last week when Square, his shoulders weren't square in the hole, and he just got, I mean, that's the easiest way to get a tackle broken. I understand it from their perspective. I expected a lot more from Cash Daniel at this point.
Yeah. It's just plain and simple. First thing on Square, he's a 208-pound inside linebacker in the SEC. So with that, if a 330-pound offensive guard just gets a hand on him or anything, he's going to get knocked off balance. So with him, it's all about angles. It's all about quickness. It's all about timing on these stunts. That's something that Jordan Jones had figured out.
Right.
Knifing through and making plays. I think that's something Square is still trying to learn. And until he learns to master that, he's going to, I think he's going to struggle, especially getting caught up in the wash. So that's just something for him that he's got to continue to work on. To Cash Daniel, I think it's kind of getting forgotten about that he was awesome against Florida. He was all over the field. He was making plays past his area when secondary guys were getting lost. He was coming from behind, making tackles. And I thought he was all. I thought he played possibly his best game of his college career against Florida. And then you had the ankle gate situation. And so that was supposed to be the leader of your team. So you have to wonder in the locker room what's that kind of dynamic now that all that whole situation happened.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he didn't start against Mississippi State. It was kind of reminded me of Texas A&M last year where he was suspended for targeting. He really was kind of bad when he came in there, not as a starter.
Right.
And then this week, you know, he wasn't. I don't think he was bad, but he wasn't great either.
I think this week is a big week for just the team leaders in general. Like, how are they able to keep everybody focused, or is this a man? I'm just glad to get the hell out of here for a little bit. You know, like, which way are they going to go? And it really, this is a role that we talk about the power vacuum. Terry Wilson was one of the first to kind of step into that, and you lose him too, and so. Now, who does the offensive lead on as their leader? Like, I mean, having a skilled player as your vocal leader.
A receiver. It's hard to have a receiver.
Yes.
Be the leader of your offense.
Yes.
Just because the dynamic of that position.
Yeah, like they aren't a great. Like you have to get them the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the other way around where it's just like just hand it to them or just put it in their hands. It takes somebody else. An action to get it into their hands, whether it's, you know, a little sweep or throw downfield. But and I don't think it can be somebody on the line either because it's just a different kind of thing. So
now that whole thing could change if that receiver we're talking about is playing quarterback.
Which I want to tip of the cap to you, sir. You found some when you did your film room breakdown of Lynn Bowden at quarterback.
TexasSportsRadio.com.
Yes, I only recall Bowden just flipping the field in his highlights. So you did some deep digging to find his throwing.
I crunched a lot of huddle tape, Mr. Roush. And it wasn't the best camera shots either. There were a lot of throws I wanted on there that they just didn't pick up.
Is it just Youngstown reel to reel?
I guess like, the guy was eating nachos up in the press box. Forgot to move the camera, the little handle of the camera. But yeah, he's better than people think. I think that's first off. Like Lynn Bowden, if he wanted to play quarterback, he probably could have played quarterback at like a Mac school.
Yeah.
So he can make some throws, and the biggest thing I think he's going to bring is just having that QB run game back in the offense. I think that's a big thing that's hurt, especially the offensive line and just how defenses scheme against Kentucky. I think that is going to give them an advantage, just having that QB run game back and kind of getting their swagger in their run game kind of back. And then when it comes to throwing the ball, I think – what essentially this is going to do, it's going to get Kentucky back to a 15-18 pass offense where you're kind of, if it's
fine by me,
it's kind of just, you know, throw it here, throw it there, just enough to keep them honest, take a deep shot every once in a while, which Bolden can do. I think he can on a go. Now, he's not going to drive the ball in the middle of the field. You're not going to see those deep crosses or those deep post, but he can throw it 40 yards vertically on a go route. He can throw a fade to Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
You can spread him out, and he can hit somebody between in that 12 to 15 yard range with some zip on the ball.
What I like the most is that he can, you talk about the quarterback run game. It looked very natural watching him run an RPO and hit a slant.
Yeah, I mean, he did all that stuff in high school. Like, he reads it well. I think he reads it really well. And ball security is going to be an issue because he's thrown three incompletions in his career and nine passes. Two of them have been interceptions at the college level. But that's also because he's getting in there and he knows he's only going to have one chance to throw it, I think. So he's trying to force it in the hole.
And he's doing it while he's wearing – he was two gloves Teddy.
Right.
On a lot of those.
That we saw against South Carolina, one glove.
Yeah, and he looked normal in there. Now, he did drop drop the ball one time. I didn't really know what that deal
was. That was in Wildcat on a third and short. One of the few third and shorts Kentucky had in the game. They had two. They had a third and three where they passed it, where they had a little rub action and – Smith couldn't get it to Bolden, and then they had another third and short where they went Wildcat and it fumbled.
Have you ever heard of Dixon, Kentucky?
I want to say yes, but can't off the top of my head think of where it's at.
It is the county seat of Webster County, which I've heard of. But somebody from
Dixon, Tennessee.
Yeah, somebody's calling me from there. Why are you calling me right now? Robocalls, man. Drive me nuts. It's usually those cable company people trying to sell me something because
they're hitting up the 11 personnel hotline.
Oh my gosh, they're hitting up the 11 personnel. Wrong number, buddy. Wrong number. Do you understand why people are like anti winning on Bowden at quarterback though?
Yeah, yes and no, I guess. I think a lot of people just want to see Walker Wood and want to see Imani Gilmore.
But why?
I don't know.
I mean, so my thing is that, like, the backup quarterback's always popular, but isn't it a better idea to give your best player more touches?
I think the thought process is you're taking an all-conference level receiver and you're making him play a position that he's not going to be an all-conference level. So you're in that way, you're hurting yourself if you've got other, you know, what you deem scholarship worthy quarterbacks on the roster that you won't play.
So here is, if we want to take it down to a very basic level of thinking, here is, you're in your NCAA football game roster. You're going through your depth chart. You got to move some people around. Let's use some arbitrary numbers. So let's say Walker Wood is a 68 and Imani Gilmore is a 60 overall rating. Lynn Bowden, 90 receiver, but when you move him to quarterback, he's like a 72 or 3.
Yeah, low 70s, let's just say.
Yeah, we'll say 73. So, yes, it's not that much better, but he has that athleticism, and whoever you put in to replace him, whether it's Cleveland Thomas or whoever it may be, the drop-off.
Well, I think other thing you're going to see, too, I think you're going to see less tight end.
Spread people out.
Mm-hmm. Because I think Kentucky has struggled to block people with tight ends this year.
Yeah, they have.
So I think you're going to see more 10, 11 personnel. With that comes, that means more snaps for Bryce Oliver, means more snaps for Cleveland Thomas,
we really
more
snaps seen for DeMarcus Harris. Game. Yep.
So I think they're going to have more receivers out there, but they're maybe not going to be throwing them the ball as much. I think that you can maybe see where A.J. Rose, they split him out, maybe send him in jet motions, maybe give him going on some jet sweeps, stuff like that to give him some perimeter runs, him or Kavassier Smoke. I think you see more Chris Rodriguez.
That's a nice run.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he made him take not one but two timeouts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like for not –
lining up, right?
Or not subbing when he was supposed to, one of those kind of ordeals. So
Got to get that fixed. But
yeah.
And I think with Bolden, with that 10, 11 personnel comes more sub-packages you're facing on defense, getting teams out of base, which in turn will give you some advantageous numbers in the box for your offensive line to block, which is something I don't think they've had so far. So I think that could help out an offensive line that's struggling a little bit. And what teams are going to want to do, what I would want to do against a dual-threat quarterback who has got a, you know, let's just say a sketchy passing background, as Bolden does, I would say let's try to stop the run in zone. Let's get in zone coverage. Let's figure out what we do best in zone coverage, and let's stop the run, and let's make this quarterback make throws in small windows. Let's not get in man where we're maybe blitzing him, but if he makes us miss or if we're not disciplined in rush lanes, then boom, it could be a big play on a scramble, or he could break out, and then maybe a receiver or a running back leaks out for a big game.
It's hard to, like, that kind of intangible is difficult.
So seeing how defenses kind of play that is what I'm most interested in.
Well, and something Mark Stoops said, I don't know if it was.
We're all assuming that he's going to be the guy, which I think.
Yeah, he'll probably be the guy for
at least a couple games.
Yeah. I think your hope is that you can beat Arkansas, sit Sawyer at Georgia, and then, you know, we'll see with Missouri. That's a game where you're going to have to score points.
Missouri's defense has been rock solid all season, but Wyoming shredded them with a QB run game.
Boom. So, sorry, stay on the sideline.
So, that could be a game. Now, teams can adjust to what Kentucky's doing and all that. So, eventually, I don't think this is a full-time thing with Bolden. I think eventually you're going to have to go back to it.
Yeah.
But I think it can be a short-term answer to give your football team some confidence and some mojo.
Yeah. And the point that Stoops made at one point this week, though, was we've seen the offensive line. The last two games, they've given up 7 sacks. Florida, best pass rushing team in the country, they only gave up 1 sack. I think part of it, as Stoops said, is that, they've just been in a lot of third and long, so it's obvious passing situations are going to be able to tee off.
But being on the road.
Yeah. And B, you've got, like, they don't have to think in the back of their mind, this guy can pull it and run. I've got to be a little more careful in my pass rush. I've got to be a lot more disciplined. I can't just go, balls to the wall, for lack of a better term. You have to have a little bit more discipline in your rush and your calls because, like you said earlier, one mistake, giving them a running lane, gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you at least could bring some of that back to the offense. Now, this is all, I think all of what we're saying, it is in the parameters of this can work if they aren't playing from behind, which they've been doing, and if they take care of the football, which they haven't been doing.
Two big fumbles.
Third down, fumbles, and man, did Kentucky ever play from behind in 2018?
Missouri.
And Vandy, but that was like 7-7, I think.
They got Florida, they were down at half.
17-14?
It was
14-10.
It was
like that. They kicked a field goal.
10-7, I think.
Yeah. But
Vanderbilt was 7-0.
They were playing behind.
Mississippi State 7-0.
It was within one or two scores. And man, that was the thing too, is as bad as that first half was against South Carolina, it's only 10-0. But
They were one play away from that whole game changing. And again, it gets back to the game pressure, like I talked about. Mississippi State lost the most disciplining part. Was you never really put pressure on a team that was kind of in a pressure pack spot. Same thing here. They get a punt muffed because it hits a guy blocking in between the numbers on the back.
Great offense.
So they have a great opportunity to score there, and they go 4 and out. And it's just, frustrating. They just never really gave themselves a shot in that game, never really made South Carolina made Kentucky play left-handed. Kentucky never made South Carolina play left-handed. And that was the biggest issue I had with the game. Now, hindsight, you saw what Bolden did. I would have liked to see them maybe turn him loose at quarterback
earlier. Sawyer was obviously. Right.
Well, you knew. Right. I think we all knew that in the first quarter, like, he just ain't got it tonight.
Right.
You could see it. He did, like, his face looked like he didn't want to be there. All his throws were just off. Every time he got hurt, a hit, it looked like it took him a long time to get up, and it just wasn't there. And so, you felt like you could hang in there if you could just get one big play. Maybe you could get two scores together. But once they went up 17-0, it was pretty much ball game.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've had enough of talking about that stupid game. Is that cool with you?
It's not on me.
Do you need anything else you need to get off your chest?
No. It's just the one thing I would say moving forward, no matter who's at quarterback, the schedule sets up well for Kentucky. 5 of the final 7 games are at home. Everyone but Georgia, you should think you're going to win going in. Missouri is one that's maybe kind of iffy on that. But Mark Stoops has never lost to Barry Odom.
Nope.
Kind of has their number a little bit.
There, have you ever noticed that Barry Odom is like Mark Stoops' Rick Fox for Calipari? He always talks about Barry Odom.
Mark Fox,
yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Rick Fox played for the Lakers. But yeah, like it's the same kind of thing where it's like, you know, he's doing a great job and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's because you keep beating him, Mark. Like, we know.
Well, he's the one. They beat them 2 years ago, right the game before they went on that big run to end the season. And he was kind of the one saying, like...
Missouri did the same thing last year.
Mm-hmm.
That Kentucky beats them, and they're devastated, but then they go on and win, like, rip off, like, 4-5 in a row. Yeah,
crush Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Crush Tennessee.
They're not doing that this year, though. They've got, like, after Kentucky, it's, like, Georgia, Florida, like, all of their...
Do they play Georgia? Yeah, they play Georgia after.
It's like all of their tough SEC East games are after Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Like Kentucky starts it off. So you mean all of their tough SEC East games are after the team they play before Kentucky? Because Kentucky's a tough one. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, go Cats. Woo! And I wanted to add to, you might have been getting to that before I cut you off, but you noted that the defensive line's too coming up. South Carolina, good defensive line. There was some nasty pass rush moves out there.
Pros. Javon Kinlaw is going to be a first-round pick, number three inside. Logan Stenberg really struggled with him. Kobe Smith, former UK commit. It's really good. He's probably going to get drafted.
DJ Sterling,
defensive end. He's probably going to get drafted. DJ Wanham, it's a junior. Hadn't had a sack all season.
Gets three in one game.
Balled out. Kind of like the Darrell Taylor of Tennessee last year. I believe he finished with 8.5 sacks, and I think 3.5 came against Kentucky. 3.5 or 4 came against Kentucky last year. It was one of those games. But Kentucky's offensive line is not built to have long pass sets and pass block like that. They're just not. It's quick pass game. If the quarterback's sitting back there, he's going to be toast, especially when he has no run element. So I mean, some of those sacks are on the O-line. Some of them are on Sawyer. Like that first one in the first half. It's third and whatever. Instead of stepping up in the pocket or just taking a sack in the pocket, like, you're hurt, you're running around, what are you going to do? You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And then you just, as soon as you get out of the pocket, boom, hit, fumble. It's just, Kentucky's got to get back to an offense playing where they're comfortable, getting ahead and getting some rhythm. I think with that comes trying to enhance your strengths. What are the strengths of this football team?
It's a good question because – offensively,
that's something that they have to find in the bye week. They don't have an identity right now on offense. They have to find an identity. I think you can make the case the defense, you know, has warts for sure, but I think they're improving and getting better each week so far, at least to my eyes. Offensively, it's kind of just a big heaping pile of nothing because you lose Terry, who was going to have a big year this year. You thought. You can't. Your running backs. You're kind of just shuffling in and out. The offensive line has struggled, which is supposed to be a strength. And you tried to force feed the receivers the last 2 weeks, and that just is not working.
This week,
you have to figure out what your identity is going to be, and then you have to put together a game plan. And this game plan against Arkansas, I think, is something that whatever you pick, that's kind of got to be you for the rest of the season. And you got to ride it out for these last 7 games.
Or if you have a Lynn Bowden, you ride it out for like 3 or 4 and then dial it back some.
Right.
But you stick with that right. identity.
And then portion. If you look at Kentucky, maybe it's not the inside zone team like Graham wants to be like you have with Snell. Maybe it's more outside zones.
Yeah.
Maybe you see more like pin pull runs like South Carolina did against Kentucky. Maybe you see some QB counters, some more RB counters, some counter trays, sweeps.
So I never had ran pin pull schemes because – I mean, high school football, you know, you're calling your pullers. You're not going to give them – you're not giving high school kids the option on when they're pulling or not. Because if it would have been mine, half the damn line would have just pulled, you know. They love that stuff. So to kind of understand what it is, where it's like, hey, if you don't have – if you're either blocking down or you're pulling, mm-hmm. that is a freaking offensive lineman's dream. And I think it's kind of cool that it gives them a little bit more options. And it creates scenarios where you got those big Holly Mogs, being your lead blockers, especially when necessarily your tight ends haven't been blocking as well. And right. you've been get CJ Conrad the ball. I just wish he was here to block. That'd be nice.
Right. They miss him, especially on that split zone where the tight end comes from the other side and then kicks out the backside defensive end. They miss him. Ain't no doubt about that. It's blocking.
Well, we can't be sitting here in a film room because you all listen to us talk. So what we're going to do, we're going to hand out awards.
Let's do it.
Because this is an award-winning football team, folks. They have won 2 football games. They've made it to the bye week, so we're going to give out some bye week awards. More like bye week superlatives. Lucky, were you on the – did you help make a yearbook? You in the yearbook?
I did.
No, me too. See, runs in the KSR family. So you helped pick the senior superlatives. So who was Sanex class of 07?
You're going to ask me this question. I'm not going to have an answer for you.
You that old? Are you 07?
Yeah, 07.
So who was the biggest disappointment?
Sanex class of 07?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to choose from there. I couldn't tell. Let's skip back to the sports here.
Because that's where we're leading. We got a couple. We actually had like the coolest car, and we picked the guy who had like the dumpiest car, stuff like that.
We did biggest fans, most likely to like own a business. I don't think we're allowed to do.
See, they let us do whatever we want.
See,
wanted,
we did it so. In the. They didn't put them in the yearbook. We did it in like we had a newspaper.
What was the newspaper called?
Xavier News, I think.
Oh, come on. It can't be like
Tiger Tail.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta have something cooler than that. Like when we had our school newspaper for like, I don't know, 2 months and then people quit caring. They called it the Pacer because we were the Colts. Mm-hmm. Said your pace horse. Still very lame. But the school newspapers need to be something like kind of like the bad cheesy blog names. Like Cattails and Big Blue Claw. Like
Tiger Beat.
Ooh, Tiger Beat. That'd have been great.
Wasn't that a magazine? Like a teen throb magazine, Tiger Beat?
I don't know.
Pretty sure it was.
I wasn't a teen throb, so I wouldn't know. But 20 throb, though. Late 20s throb. I think I'm in my late 20s now. I think I'm out of my mid-20s.
Yeah. Once you pass 26...
Oh, no. 27 is still technically mid.
I don't know about that.
We're rounding down. We're rounding down. But now we got to round up because we are doing our senior superlatives. All right, biggest disappointment. I'm just going to say quarterback play in general because that was.
Not just quarterback injury luck.
Yeah, and it's not even anything you can like.
It even goes back to Nick Scalzo blowing out his knee in fall camp. And then. Terry Wilson on a pretty routine play has a not even just a regular knee injury, has like a weird knee injury. Yeah. And then Sawyer Smith gets in and has hurts his wrist against Florida, chasing down a pick six, hurts his shoulder sometime against Mississippi State, and then has another injury. Who knows what that is?
Yeah.
So how do you, I mean, like it's so essentially four out of the 5 games Kentucky played, a quarterback has gotten hurt, and then in fall camp, another quarterback has gotten hurt. So it's just, to me, that's the most disappointing thing. It's just bad luck they've really got in the QB injury department.
Yeah, and especially when that we talked that vacuum of production, so much of it was going to be put on the shoulders of Terry Wilson. So for that to go away, there's still other pieces there. But you can't rely on those pieces. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like A.J. Rose, we know he's good, but is he featured back good? I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where everything could work so much better if it was centered around Terry. Now when it has to spread out elsewhere without somebody at the epicenter, it's just tough. And I am definitely, and I mean, obviously there's 7 more games to go, plenty of wins left. But the expectations just have been lowered significantly for me.
Right. I think for the team right now, it's all about getting bowl eligible, beating Louisville, and then beating Tennessee in a down year.
Yeah.
I think if you can do those things, because those things good. From a recruiting standpoint are the you're things good. You're looking for, and you can go to a bowl game, and like we talked about earlier, no matter what they do, they're going to go to a respectable bowl, more than likely, because of the situation in the SEC. It's looking like 2 teams are going to make the playoff. Another team is going to make the New Year's Six, maybe even 2 in the New Year's Six, and then Missouri has a bowl ban. And then you look at teams like Tennessee, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Arkansas, Ole Miss. It's going to be rough sledding for those teams to even get to bowl eligibility. So the chances are still there, I think, to have a to end the season on a high note. I think that's still a very viable option. But they've got some stuff to figure out. Eddie Grant's going to have to earn that $870,000 paycheck this week. Mark Stoops is going to have to earn that $4.7 million salary this week. And they're going to have to figure some stuff out. But we're just going to have to see what they can get in the lab and figure out. So, but the good thing is, running backs got some fresh legs because they're not putting up a lot of carries. Defense is young, but they're getting better, and they're going to get healthier off this bye. I think you're going to start to see more Xavier Peters.
Defensive line.
Hopefully we're seeing Boogie Watson kind of find something that in the last game, and he can really step up. And defensive line has played well, and that gets us to our MVP, I think. For me, at least, it's Calvin Taylor.
Oh.
I think he has been awesome this season.
Wow.
I think he's been one of the best inside defensive linemen in the SEC. I think not first team, but I think he's got a really, really good shot at second or third team honors all SEC.
It's a pretty bold statement there, Mr. Luckett.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're conveniently forgetting about the best punter in America. Max Duffy is your MVP because he could have the best average in the history of punting.
All-American.
He really. And what's crazy, that Texas A&M game last year when it was just a like the greatest punt off.
Punt fest.
Like the Big Ten was watching just like, what the hell is going on? This is our game. We're having the punt off. That guy for Texas A&M had to declare that he was coming back from school because they thought he was going to go to the draft. Duffy isn't at that point yet, but you know, maybe so.
And there's a fake coming with him.
It was so there.
It was open. It's coming.
It was there. I was like, just go.
It's coming.
Just go. But you mentioned Calvin Taylor is your MVP. He is my unsung hero because I just think he gets glossed over with all the other guys. And when he plays well, it's so much fun to watch. Like Josh
sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, and like that twist was the most perfect twist. The sack he had against South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's going to get drafted.
So I was talking to him about it. It'll be a post. You can watch the video on YouTube now, but I'm going to make it a post on KSR later. Which, by the way, if you aren't subscribed to our YouTube page, KSR Digital on YouTube, subscribe to it. It's got everything you could ever want from all the stuff that we hear from the players and all the posts that we write comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know the stuff before we write it, you can have dips, essentially. But when I was talking to Calvin about it, he was just like, it was like, so what's it like when you get that, you get the twist call and it actually works? Because you weren't on defensive line, but how many times do you run a twist and it just doesn't open up because they slide to it and they're there to block it? Probably
a lot.
2/3 of the time, maybe, mm-hmm. give or take. And he was like, man. As soon as I saw them slide away, I knew like it was going to be there, and he just took
open like the Red Sea.
Oh my gosh! And like his face too, the joy that he gets, just smiling ear to ear. I absolutely love it, and I just think that he hasn't got enough praise. So I'm glad that you gave him the MVP and I gave him the unsung hero because he's earned it. He had career 7 tackles against South Carolina to go along with that sack, and I think there's a guy from PFF. He hasn't tweeted out that random stat recently, and I'm not going to pay for their subscription. You know, we got enough stuff to write about. But he had, like, the top 5 in the country interior defense lineman pressures.
He's up there. I mean, he's played almost as well as anyone on the inside defensive line.
Yeah.
He's gotten 16 tackles in 5 games, which is a lot for defensive linemen. You know, he's got a couple quarterback hurries. I don't know what just came out there. forced fumble. He's got a PBU, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. So
I would like a couple more PBUs, though, just from a 6. You think you throw it over there. The 6'9" yeah. guy? Like, come on. Okay. What do you have next? What do you want to
do? My unsung hero is just Drake Jackson. I still think he's very important. I think he's quietly played really well. And if they lose him on the offensive line, they could be in some trouble because
I'm gonna knock on that one.
He's kind of their glue up front, so more times than not he's gonna be my unsung hero because I think what he does kind of goes underappreciated, and I just think he's really good. I think he's one of the better centers in the SEC. He's another guy I think is going to be up for all SEC honors by the end of the season.
That's good to hear. And I remember, we talked about leaders earlier. It's good that you still got Drake in the middle of that.
Right.
Offensive line. Biggest surprise. Would you like to go first, Mr. Luckett?
I would say the secondary's gradual improvement.
Damn it. Stole mine.
Now, it's going to be challenged here against Arkansas because they like to throw the ball around the yard.
Yeah, they threw it around pretty well last week.
But I've liked what I've seen. The two junior college guys, Brandon Echols, of course, has been there from the start. We're starting to see more from Quandre Mosley. Mm-hmm. I think Jamari Brown's got better every week.
Man, that play he made on the
ball. I don't know
why
he's not starting. I think they've started Dort the last two games.
Yeah, I've been Brown makes very obvious mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that, like consistently he's there.
He got picked on early in the season, but I think you've seen him start to get a little bit better each week. Yeah. And I've liked what I've seen from him. So just that gradual improvement, even with the loss of Jordan Griffin, even with, like, you know, nothing really going their way, pass rush kind of leaving
Corker
them out to dry sometimes.
Out.
I think they've
Dotson
answered the bell.
Getting mm-hmm. injured.
Yeah, Taj Dotson.
I mean, they've taken their lumps and been better than expected. And you can see where they're starting to improve. Now, they're still making up touchdown bad mistakes, but Kentucky's pass defense is one of their best statistics in the SEC. I think they're like sixth.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like anything. They're giving up yards, but they've gotten some interceptions. They're not giving up many touchdowns.
I think they have five interceptions and only three touchdowns. They've only given up three passing touchdowns.
Well, and you got to think two of the interceptions too were Cash and DeAndre Square. So linebackers have two of those.
Okay, so but still 1-to-1 interception to touchdown ratio.
Right.
Not too shabby. Yeah, I'm wondering if I can add an alternative to that, but I think it has to be the secondary is the biggest surprise and a pleasant surprise at that. Biggest room for improvement. I have two options here, Luckett. So I'll let you choose them so I can pick my other one if you take it. How's that sound?
Okay, mine's just offensive ground game.
That was my first one. Yep. So, yeah, great minds think alike.
Like we've talked about earlier, that just it's their DNA. I had a stat that I pulled up earlier this week. Since Eddie Grant arrived, Kentucky is 1-8 when they don't run the ball at least 30 times in a game. And that only win was against a winless FCS Austin Peay in 2016. They are, I believe, 26-9, something like that, when they do run 30 times a game. So that's kind of their DNA, and that's, I think, where the coaches are most comfortable playing in a style like that. So yeah. I think – but to run it 30 times, running it 30 times means that you're kind of dictating the pace of the game because that means you're kind of owning the tempo. You're successful enough where you're moving the chains enough where you can attempt that many runs. And I think that's where Mark Stoops is kind of most comfortable, where he can – play offense like that, and his defense only has to play 60 to 65 snaps. Because I think we've seen over Stoops' tenure, once that defense gets kind of past that 65 snap mark, that's when they get tired and kind of let up. That's where you saw the Mississippi State late score touchdown. That's where you saw the South Carolina Tavian Feaster just bullied Yusuf Corker. That's what they want to stay in, that kind of 60 to 67 snaps. I think that's their sweet spot on defense. They don't want to really play more than that. But to do that, you've got to move the chains on offense, and you've got to establish the run. And I think that's a big thing for them, especially with Bowden at quarterback. It's going to be a more run-heavy offense. Them getting that ground game going is going to be important.
And it's one of those things that going into the year, I think we all had to like, well, at least they'll be able to run the ball because we know they've got good backs and they're solid up front on the offensive line. But all of the running backs are much better in space. They just are.
Except for Rodriguez, I think.
Yeah, there was a couple times. There's one play in particular where I was sitting next to Pilgrim, and he's like, stop dancing. Where some of it was a great play by the defensive end. I forget who it was. But it was one-on-one. Rose had to read his tackle and go one way or the other. And instead, he got caught dancing behind him, and the defensive end did his job, making him guess which way he was going instead of just hitting the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stuff that you didn't have to worry about with Benny Snell, and that, you know, naturally, we took that for granted. Just give it to Benny, and you're going to get 3 yards. He's the school's all-time winning rusher for a reason, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Very talented running back who I just want to see him get more carries with the Steelers. We need that. He only hit two the other night. This is hogwash. Bud had a good game, though.
Bud did.
He had a, was it a forced fumble?
Yeah, in the red zone, I think.
In the strip sack, yeah. Bud Dupree, what a guy. He has his
contract year.
Sacks is Josh Allen, who I caught up with yesterday. Josh is a good dude, man.
How'd that go?
It's great. It was great. Except the equipment almost, I thought it was going out on me. You know.
Well, that would have been bad.
It was bad. Yeah, it would have been bad. Cause, so
he had to get beef and cheddar shredder over there on the hotline.
Well, it's not even the equipment, like the cords, because I actually recorded it early. Believe it or not, getting NFL players up at like the crack of dawn.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But what happens is the stupid iPhone, they don't have just a headphone jack anymore. So you've got to plug in that adapter, and when you have like three adapters plugged in, then it's like, oh gosh, we got to make sure that none of these are pulling one out or anything else. Either way, got it to work. He's a great guy to talk to, and I'm pretty sure he's coming back for the Tennessee game. So
yeah, it's probably his bye week.
That's their bye week. So I think he's coming back for it. And they got three games. They got Cincy, Indy, and Nashville within like a month of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only been to one NFL game in my life. Like, and I might have to make my way to one of those. Probably not the Bengals because they just suck. They're like, I don't want to watch just a bad football team. But I could see myself enjoying my time down in Nashville, maybe at LP Field or whatever they're calling it now.
It's called, what's it called now?
Nissan
Stadium.
They got the trucks all over the place.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but if you wanted to go to the Dome, it gets loud up in there.
See, I kind of do want to go there because I've been to
I've never experienced
games.
A football game in a Dome, but I've heard it's crazy loud.
And Colts, I don't know how they lost the Raiders, but yeah, they should be pretty good, right? Yeah. I don't know. That division, it's the wonkiest.
First one of 9-7.
You're exactly right. Worst play.
You go first. I think we might have the same one.
4th-and-1 versus Florida. I think since then, nothing's felt the same.
I agree with that, but for me, I just keep thinking, what does this team look like if Terry Wilson isn't horse-collared?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what does that Florida game look like? Is it different?
Or do they mollywop him?
Or did Sawyer make some throws that maybe Terry wouldn't have made and therefore Kentucky loses that game? But if that, you know, I think there's just so many different scenarios where you could play in your head if he was still there.
Yeah.
And I think that was the worst play to me. You just at the time it didn't look like that bad of a tackle, but then he just didn't get up and you're like, oh, just got your toe, you know, stuck in the grass, maybe just scared and maybe you sprained your foot or something like that.
They aren't showing the replay, and I've got buddies at home like, well, it didn't look that bad, but yeah. Then you just see how much pain he's in. It's like, God, this sucks.
Mm-hmm. It did suck. So for me, that was a worst play.
Okay, let's move on. Worst play. Yeah, best play.
Best play. To me, what the Wagner fade against Eastern Michigan. You just threw it up, caught it, threw a guy off, pass interference didn't matter, go and score for touchdown. I think it really gave some teams some momentum after the Terry injury, and I think it gave the offense some, you know, excitement about Sawyer Smith. Mm-hmm. Then that carried into the Florida game for three quarters.
Sir, I like that you picked the – it was a situational. It's like with Phil Still, his situational play, where it's the situation. That's obvious why you would pick it, but – the context in which it gave Sawyer Smith some confidence and the team confidence after a real downer injury, I think, is important. But the best catch I've ever seen is the one he made against Florida.
Right.
That was incredible. You know what, though? It might not have been – okay, I take it back. I was going to say that Dane Key's catch might have been better. Dane Key, that's probably the best catch I've seen in high school.
That was filthy.
That was just crazy. They kicked the crap out of that team, too.
Was it Scott County?
Yeah.
And, it was a big win for them.
Big revenge game. Mm-hmm. For which, by the way, big Friday night for recruiting. So if you're going out, if you want to watch Bo Allen play, I bet Mark Stoops is going to be there.
It's a game at Lexcath, or is it down in Boyle County?
That I don't know. But that's a huge game. Teams, I think they got out.
I don't think
they
like each other very
they
much.
They got out of their own. I think they were in separate classes for a few years, and now they're back in the same class.
It sounds about right.
And
I know Boyle County wrecked them last year, but Boyle County had a really good team.
So my the
and Bo Allen's been a superstar for his team. This
so
year.
I went to school with a bunch of Lexcath kids at UK, and that you kept Boulder County's name out of your mouth. They didn't like him that much. And I don't know why I want to get stuck on that, but that just means it's going to be a nasty game.
It's in Danville at Boyle County. 7:30 kick.
I think that, like you said, Bo Allen, he's put up impressive numbers, and he's done it after losing a lot of his best playmakers. So it'll be if he can.
Yeah, that defense isn't stopping anybody, so they need him to put up monster numbers week in and week out, and he's doing it. I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him.
So I'm just, for all those who might want to catch the UK coaches at a game, see where Butler's playing. I'm doing this in a post, so you can just check that when you're listening to this Friday morning. But it's Butler with Jordan Watkins. I bet Michael Smith will be there. Mayo with Isaiah Cummings.
Those two put on a show, I believe, last week.
Yeah, they put, it was one of those things, it was like, Bradley, let's go video this game. I have a feeling that anymore they do, they get 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. And I think they had a big one called back, too, in that game. North Hardin is one you should also, whoever North Hardin's playing, I bet you the big dogs there, not just for Oxendine either. Their running back, Lavelle Wright, that dude is a stud, an absolute stud, near the top of UK's big board in that junior
North
class.
Hardin undefeated.
And I think DeAndre Square, he even said he was going to go out to watch Hazard.
I saw that.
Somerset, Kai Sharon.
Big game out there. It is game of the week, I think.
I want to see him because, like, you know, there's like a, hey, so is he as good as Bo Allen? Because you can't really, like, Somerset's, are they class single A?
Pulling it up right now.
They're either single or double.
They are double A, District 4.
But they've been playing.
The Briar Jumpers.
They've been playing a lot of those county schools down there.
Their offense is lighting people up.
Right.
40, 75, 46, 41, 64.
Yeah. They're putting up some big points. But I think it's because teams like that typically, you know, those Southern Kentucky county schools aren't typically playing guys that throw the ball around the yard quite like Kai Sharon can. So I'll be interested to see what he plays against a good Hazard team this weekend. To kind of wrap things up, Saturday. Pretty good slate, Adam Luckett.
It's going to be fun.
Pretty good slate. Oh, this is a segment you can sponsor, folks. If you need to sponsor something because you want us to... Okay.
Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity
this
to sponsor.
Really, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to sponsor an incredible segment on a podcast, and it's called Did CBS Get It Right? We've been playing this game for a while now. And I enjoy this game. I don't recall if they got it right last Saturday. So no, they didn't get it right last Saturday. This Saturday,
for about 5 minutes of the first quarter, it looked like they might have something.
It was a lot of points, at least over.
And then Tua said,
"Rock solid."
Wink. I got this.
This week though, Auburn, Florida, your boy,
buckle up,
Bo Daddy. And this is you talked about two playoff teams or two SEC teams in the playoff. These teams can make, like, they can, if whoever wins this game, they can lose to Georgia or Alabama and still make their case for a college football playoff appearance.
Neither of these two teams are going to make the playoff, but they're going to have a say about if the SEC can get two teams in. Because if Auburn wins, that's going to be a bucket in the hat for LSU and Alabama saying we beat this team that has wins over, you know, Oregon. Pac-12 champ Oregon.
Yeah.
A Florida team that went 10-2.
Or Auburn just beats them all. Bo Nix.
Maybe. Or for Florida, it sets up, you know, a big clash next week when they go to LSU. And then it's down in Jacksonville for the cocktail party, too. It's going to be another huge matchup between Florida and Georgia. But, you know, I love Bo Nix. There's just something weird. I don't feel good about this game from on the Auburn side.
Oh, well, you need to get your feelings the hell out of here.
I don't know. Dan Mullen as an underdog, I think Auburn's had a lot out of them so far. Florida's defense is really good. Kentucky is really the only team to really have success against that Florida. And that's what makes that all those injuries just kind of sour taste in your mouth. Could you see what that offense kind of did against a really good defense? And Florida gets their guys back this week, Jamari Zuniga, C.J. Henderson. And I love Florida's receivers. They're not going to be pounding their head against that defensive line for Auburn. I don't know. I think things are kind of lining up for Florida in that game. Even though I think Auburn's probably the better team, but just on the way the schedule works out that lands on this weekend, I think it's kind of aligning for Florida to pull an upset.
I was looking at the just the pure numbers on rush defense versus their rush offense. And pretty much in rushing pass, all of the major statistical categories, it's almost at a draw, except Florida hasn't run the ball football effectively.
They can't run the ball at all.
They can't run the ball at all. And you got a guy in Kyle Trask who started, and this is his third career start. Which what the hell is going on in there? Like he hasn't started since his freshman year in high school. How do you get a guy who hadn't started in high school?
That's Texas high school football for you.
Oh God, this is ridiculous.
De'Aaron King, that's why he didn't start.
Okay, well. The fact that he still ended up at Florida is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Texas football, get the hell out of here. I digress. If Auburn limits Florida's rushing game, which I think they'll be able to, that defensive line is going to tee the hell off on Kyle Trask. And I know he's pretty effective at getting the ball out of hands quick, and I know you're a believer, and I am as well, as the quarterback's going to be put in good situations by Dan Mullen.
And he's at home. So it's not gonna. You're not gonna have that crowd
effect. I still just think that.
That's why I think it sets up Florida well to kind of sneak past Auburn this week, and then next week it sets up where they're just gonna go down to Baton Rouge and just get co-cocked. But I think it sets up well for them this week, and then they're gonna have all the hype. It's Florida college football playoff contender. Blah 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 blah.
And then LSU's gonna
hammer them because they're getting healthy, and LSU hates Florida, and Florida hates LSU, and. LSU's got the better team this year, and it's 8 p.m. kickoff, 7 local time, ESPN, down there in Baton Rouge. I think like that's what I kind of see envisioning. I think maybe Florida sneaking past Auburn, and then next week, the week of hype, and they go down to LSU and just get hammered.
I don't know if it's going to be one of my PT's picks of the week, like it, but I am going to put a little bit of money on the Utah State Aggies to cover 25 points this week.
I'm on them, too.
Because LSU is playing a nooner.
11 a.m. local.
Yeah,
but to answer the question, yes, CBS got this one right.
Yes, yes.
They didn't get last week right, but I think they're going to get this one right.
Which you can sponsor by emailing ksrads@kentuckysportsradio.com. We love advertisers. We'll talk about them longer than anything we'll talk about on this podcast. But noon kickoff in Death Valley, 11 a.m. local time, against a Utah State team who's top 25 in scoring. Like LSU's
NFL
defense,
quarterback, Jordan Love.
They give up points.
They have.
Yeah, so I like Utah State to cover that.
And they're due.
A lot of points.
LSU was hotter than anybody, and then they had the bye week.
Yeah.
So they're coming off the bye.
They'll come out
A bye, and then they're coming out for the early kick.
Yeah.
I like Utah State in that spot.
Well, what about this Iowa-Michigan game? Like, is it too good to be true, Iowa beating Michigan?
I think so.
Like, it feels like fool's gold.
That line is fishy. Because if you just watch the teams and compare the numbers, Iowa should be favorite, Michigan's favorite. It's a get-back spot for Michigan. If they don't bounce back here, they're not ever going to bounce back. Iowa has traditionally not done well in these spots, playing the big teams on the road, essentially Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. Yeah.
Now, at home, but
right,
on the road,
at home it's a different animal in Kinnick Stadium, but on the road, I don't trust them. I think Michigan... They'll figure it out. I think Iowa's going to have a hard time covering those receivers, and they'll find a way to win that game, probably about 10 or so.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to see if Neil Brown can scare Texas. It's a
great spot for them.
Yeah.
I just don't – it was announced today, West Virginia safety, when they're starting safeties, is going to do the play four games transfer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and West Virginia's got, big personnel issues, but – Texas has also got a lot of injuries they're nursing. I think they can maybe scare them a little bit, but I don't think that's going to be an upset.
What is the number on Virginia Tech Miami?
I think it's 13.5.
Virginia Tech, what the hell is going on? Like, Justin Fuente, I thought that everybody was like, that's a great hire. Like, what? Good job, guys. You're going to be back.
That was when the national media said, slam dunk, can't miss.
And it
great
has
hire.
Been...
In the first 2 years, he was good, and then it just has gone off the rails. There was an article Ross Dellinger wrote in Sports Illustrated, who I hope he keeps his job. I know there's some stuff going on with that side right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, over the summer, he did like this kind of investigative piece, I guess, and pretty much the gist of it was that the culture is kind of rotten there, that I don't think, like, there's some weird stuff going on because Bud Foster's their longtime DC, and now he's retiring this year.
So you get Bud Foster guys. I don't think that's been
very smooth.
Right.
And then you had seniors or upperclassmen telling the younger classmen because they scheduled a game late last year, rescheduled with Marshall so they could get to 6-6 to get uh-huh. Because they have a bowl streak going. And it was like a source piece saying that upperclassmen were telling them not to play hard this week because we don't want to practice more and stuff like that. And then last week they got blitzed by Duke.
So did that piece come out like this week?
It was over the summer.
Okay. Because I actually heard about that recently too. And another weird thing, this line opened at 8.5 and is up to 14 mm-hmm. Miami.
People are because they think, you know, Virginia Tech's in a tailspin, so they're just hammering Miami. And Miami's got a schedule right now that sets up well. Like, they're going to be favored in the rest of the games they play.
Hmm.
So this could be a jump start for them. They got Virginia coming into town next week on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But they historically have never been good, or not good recently, as a double-digit favorite. So I don't really know what to expect from that game. Because I don't really know much about Miami.
Yeah.
And I don't, and we sure as hell don't know what the hell's going on with Virginia Tech. But one of my favorite games this week is Friday night, UCF-Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be some good action.
Because Cincinnati wants to beat them boys bad. And, you know, UCF's got this long winning streak in the AAC. Have you seen what, I believe
it's
this is real, the field?
It's so ugly.
I thought it was fake at first, and I didn't even pay any attention to it. And then I saw it later, and I was like, oh, this is like, this is for real what they're doing. Which, if anybody has, what's it like? Is it all black, and then it's got a white end zone? One end zone's white, and then the rest are.
It's weird. It's all weird, and it needs to stop. It needs to stop now. I don't like it. You know what it reminds me of, too? Is in Space Jam when the bull's eyes get like he sees red, and then he gets really angry. That's like the background of their eyes. It doesn't look like a bear cat's eyes. It looks like the cartoonish Looney Tunes bull. Mm-hmm. Very bizarre. So I think the optics of that game will be bad, but I'm just excited to see what Cincinnati's defense does against UCF and all that tempo. Because if it gets into a physical, just like I like Cincinnati if they can ugly up the game, but who dictates the pace?
Right.
So,
and then bloodbath in Knoxville. Tennessee, Jeremy Banks, who went to high school with Quentin Bohanna, were in the same class.
Ooh, didn't know that.
And said he's going to.
Where I'm from, we shoot cops. Ohio State. Is there any way Michigan State can ugly up that enough? It's a lot of points. It went up from 17 to 20.
Ohio State's the best team I've seen so far. But Michigan State, they have a way to figure it out.
They ugly it up, man.
They have a way. I wouldn't be surprised if that's, you know, 24-17 all of a sudden at the end of the third quarter.
Man, but Ohio State, I was happy to see them just absolutely house Nebraska.
They're due for a, you know, kind of a letdown performance, though, Ohio State is. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, the nightcaps kind of stink. But
a great early
noon
day.
3:30, there's a lot of good stuff
on. And you know what? That's perfect, Luckett, because for us people who are used to having Kentucky football, and you don't have Kentucky football, you start drinking at noon.
It's consumption Saturday.
And then by the time you get to 8 o'clock, you're like, oh, crap, I was overserved. Who? Bartender, you're losing your job.
It's consumption Saturday. It's going to be fun.
It really is. I'm eating chili and drinking beer all day.
And the weather report's out for next week, early weather report.
70s. It's going to be great.
70s during the day. Come kickoff time, you're looking at high 50s.
Football weather.
Yes.
Woo!
Get your Burgoo. Get your sweater. Get your sweatshirt. Get your hoodie. Get your boots. Get your jeans. Let's rock and roll.
It's going to be 80. We're recording Thursday evening. This is the last day of 90-degree weather for the foreseeable future. Adam Luckett. We did it. We made it through summer. We're making it through a bye week. It's going to be a relaxing weekend. And we're forgetting about that South Carolina game. Ain't that right?
We're moving forward. No rearview mirror. All
gas.
Signs points ahead.
No brakes. Into the bye week.
It's time for some cold weather football. It's time to run the football. It's time for the defense to play better. Get off the field on third down. Convert in the red zone. Convert on third downs. And let me tell you something about Arkansas. Bad red zone offense. Bad red zone defense. Bad third down offense. So Kentucky is going to have a chance to get right against a team that has some flaws that I think match up well with them.
Get it right. Get it tight. Go Cats. Go Kroger. We'll see y'all later.